Well, as they pass out the offerings, we have a couple here, Rex and Karen Roney. They have been with us for the past, I don't know, maybe 9 months or so, 8 months. I don't know how long. It doesn't really matter. They've been attending our church for quite some time now. And they are missionaries for part of the year to Myanmar. And they're going to come tell you about their mission work in Myanmar, but also deliver the word to us as well. And anyway, I think you guys are going to be very blessed to hear from Rex and Karen Roney. You guys are welcome to come on forward. Thank you. Let's give them a hand as they come.
Thank you, thank you. We really appreciate the opportunity to be here and just introduce ourselves to you. Okay. So, again, we're Rex and Karen. And usually when we are asked to speak or something, I'll teach or preach or something. Or maybe Karen will over in Myanmar. So this is the first time we're doing things together, okay? We've been married for 45 years. I know we can do it. But, you know, sometimes I have her way, she has her way, so, you know, we'll do this. We even practiced a couple of times last night, so we'll see. All right, we do have a slide presentation, and so we're going to go through that, you know, pretty quick and just tell you what we do, what we've done there, what's happened in our lives this last few years, and then I'll teach at the end, so we're looking forward to that. Okay, so just a little bit about us. You want to say something about us? You want me to do that? Go ahead.
Well, okay. Am I on?
Okay. Yeah, you're
okay,
on.
I hear it now. We met in college, okay, mm-hmm. And I was from a city girl, farm boy. Anyway, we met at K-State and dated there, got married, raised 5 kids. I homeschooled. I worked some a little bit, but then I homeschooled for 15 years. He had a career in banking and different things. And so we, our kids grew up, we had 5, we've got 8 grandchildren now, they grew up, and he retired early, and that was the Lord's thing, that's another story. But as he started studying Kara's classes online. And so he took that, and once he got through that, he said, we need to go to Woodland Park. So. We went, and I retired then. We went to Woodland Park, went to Kara's full-time for 2 years, and the Lord completely changed our direction. We were before, you go, we'll send, you know, when it comes to missions. And the Lord did some changing on that for us completely. And so.
Yeah, so therefore, when we left to go to Kara's, which is in Colorado, we always lived in Kansas, we sold our home, put everything in storage. We didn't want to have anything that tied us to go back. We wanted to be flexible, what God wanted us to do. And so now we live in this. And so...
We're at Hillsdale Park right now.
Yeah, so we do own some land near Ottawa. We're going to build a home there someday, so we'll do that. So now this is the couple who asked us to come with us. I remember one time we were with them. They did a conference at Kara's. And Rick looked at to me, he goes, you know, when you're done, you need to come to Myanmar with us and you need to teach. And I thought, what a weird idea. Why would I want to go there, of all places? I mean, we're okay just like we are, you know. But we are open to God still. You know, we had to have our hearts open. And so, so about 2 months later, that seed that he planted in my heart germinated, and I couldn't get away from it. And I knew we were going to be in missions. Karen didn't. But Karen worked, you know, God worked on her in a supernatural way, too. And then I go back to Rick and Angie. I say, hey, you know, we're ready to go. And they go, then I thought, is it still open, you know? But anyway, it was. Anyway, so we went there for the first time last year, and it was quite an experience for us because we had never been to Asia before. It was a culture shock. But what they do there is so great. They work for American Airlines, and Rick and Angie went to the same college as Pastor Phil had in Rhema. And so they started this ministry several years ago, and they just go over once a year. when they worked, they accumulated a vacation and went over there. But over that time, they have so many assets there. They got so many things going on over there. It's amazing. And so we had a discipleship school started this past June. There's a sewing school that we minister to young ladies. There's rice fields that we own. And child evangelism, elderly programs, Buddhist outreach. I mean, swine operation, I got a picture on that. That's pretty cool. Anyway, a new campus in Yangon. But anyway, they're making disciples to evangelize Myanmar, to reach the Buddhists. Okay, go ahead, next slide. So here's where we go, and here's a picture of it. So you see that's all Asia there, with pointing to, the bottom part is Yangon. That's the biggest city. And then up there is a whole country of Myanmar.
Go ahead. And you see part of it borders Thailand there a little
bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
India, Bangladesh, China.
Thailand. Okay, next slide.
Closer up picture here.
Yeah, this is Myanmar blown up. You got Calais, Kerr up the top, Yangon's down at the bottom. So we do the ministry up in Calais. That's where we were most of the time last year. So we're not too far from India. We're kind of up there in the hills, or the hills in the background. It's a beautiful area, okay? And so Myanmar, the country, it's about the landmass of Texas, you see there. It's controlled by a military dictatorship. And they've had that type of government ever since World War II, since the Japanese left or were defeated. And so it's controlled by a ruthless dictatorship right now that really traumatized the people greatly. So there's a civil war. So the rebels have united together here in the last couple of years, and they're fighting back, and they're winning ground. In fact, the rural areas are mostly controlled by the rebels.
The good guys.
Yeah, it's only time that the military dictatorship is going to be defeated. But the fighting is heavy in some places, and it's really just really close where we're at. Not exactly where we're at. In fact, the military dictatorship is just right next to us, and a base.
The military base.
There's a base there. And so the rebels aren't going to go and attack them because we're there, and they're not going to want, the people are, not just specifically us.
Their families.
But anyway, so much to learn. The people are under this oppression because of the civil war. People are dying every day, but they're fighting for their freedom. So, and it's Myanmar is one of the six countries that the State Department says, they say, don't go there. And so we went there, they go, why are you here? Well, but the ambassador knows we're there. Rick met with the ambassador on the way out last year, and so she knows what we're doing there, so the State Department will know that. So this is the campus there at Calais where
next slide.
Yeah, next slide, I'm sorry. We got signed here. So we're looking out. We're on a third floor. We got about four or five buildings there. They're newer type buildings on this acreage that the ministry owns. In the background is the beautiful mountains that are full of landmines, they say. So, we don't
can't go
there.
Hiking up there.
No, you can't go there. So, but there's a barn there and a swine operation there. To the right there, you can't see is the house where the pastor lives there. So let's go to the next slide, too. And then and that's just a garden area. And let's go to the next one, which is a swine operation. To me, it's state of the art. And we completed that last year. We're going to get some hogs and start that operation when we get there. So it's engineered. It's great. Anyway, next one. Let's go. This is right here. Everything's fine for us to go over there. We're already got things set aside. We don't need anything, but the ministry itself, because of the discipleship school, we've got some great needs. And so if you feel inclined to give, that's great. We're trying to raise money for a laptop computer and a keyboard. And so we'd like to, so that's something you can give to a church or whatever, or I'll let Pastor Nate talk about that.
Yeah, feel inclined to sow into this,
yes,
that's where it would go.
It wouldn't go to us, but it'd go to Transit Ministry School. The School of the Harvesters, that's what it's called. Okay. Now, this is some pictures we'll go through quickly just to give you an idea of what, we went there, it's just like motor scooters everywhere, very few cars. Here's another one. I'm always going to see something very interesting as we go back and forth to the campus location where we had to stay all night. It, interesting things.
Yeah, so, just to give you an idea of the culture and what, where we're
sedan.
Living and what it's like. Yeah. Food.
That's fish parts there. Most of them are dried.
Mostly fish parts.
And that's Alley Hall lumber.
It's
rice drying out that they would do that. That's drying out, and then they take it to mill, then you have rice after that. Okay. And that I thought that was kind of fascinating. Just about a week before that, there's a tractor plowing, but then he goes and breaks up all those clods. So they use rice, and then they'll come back and grow beans. That is actually a hearse. We're at a filling station. Those guys pulled up in a motorcycle, kind of truck-like hearse. But when it's Buddhist.
It was Buddhist.
Oh, yeah, I look at that and say, hearse. Someone's dying without Jesus. And 90% of the country is Buddhist. These are Buddhist, monks.
Monks, yeah.
They chose to be monks. And everybody shaves their head, and they beg all morning long, and then they go to the temple in the afternoon. And they do that for as long as they want to. 2 weeks, 20 years.
Yeah, it's kind of by choice.
That's
you can choose
Buddhist
to be a
temple.
Monk for a while to, you know, make up for bads you've done and then go back and live your life, or you can, some of them stay, stay monks. So
that's a Buddhist temple there. They're always constructing something on that. And the reason why is they put gold leaf over all these places on there, and it wears out, so they have to constantly redo it. So they put a lot of money into that.
The people do. It's the people who have to give to put that gold leaf on.
And then right out in front of there, it's rice drying out. It's just that time of the year. Okay, the next one would be when. When we go, we're going to go November 24th. We've already got tickets. This gets us to Bangkok, Thailand, so we got to go from there. We'll go and we'll get back the end of June. Excuse me, not June, January. So we're going to escape all the cold here.
Yeah, they have three seasons there. They have hot, hotter, and rainy. So we go during the hot season. Where we're at is right at the Tropic of Cancer.
I think it's the lowest temperature they have all year long is like the last week of December. And in the mornings, it'll get down to 65 degrees. And they got their coats on.
Coats, parkas.
And so there was one time we were in a taxi going to church because we were speaking that day. And it's kind of cool because it's, 65 and the wind's a little blowing and it's all open air. I mean, there's no, anyway.
It was funny because one of them talked about how cold they were and how come we weren't wearing coats. And we were like, oh, this is good. And I got out my phone and showed them a picture of 18 inches of snow in up in Woodland Park. And I said, now this is cold. And they were like, okay.
Okay, what we do. So this is some pictures that just kind of goes, we'll go over this a little bit. The guy on the left, he was 104 years old.
Yeah. Who's celebrating his 104th birthday.
And that was precious. His birthdays is always the time when the Rick and Angie are there. And so he told us stories about Japanese occupation and that he was a porter for the Japanese.
Yeah,
forced to carry all their weapons and stuff to fight against their own people. And that's just me
Rick's
preaching.
Rick's ministering.
There's Karen ministering.
With kids. And playing on a senior outreach.
That's a Christian deaf school. They were Christians. So that was pretty cool. Wonderful kids. Gosh, it was so neat to be with them. Let's go on. That's Karen ministering in the market and at the sewing school. And you might, if you want to...
What? With the lady?
Karen had, we're in the marketplace, and Karen had this inclination to pray for this lady in her
I asked her if she had pain in her head because she kept going like this while she was sitting at her booth. And so I asked her if I could pray through the interpreter. So I did. I was able to pray for her for healing in her head. And the other one is the sewing school, which we mentioned earlier. And I got to minister a Bible study there. So I'm praying over the different ladies in the sewing schools. We had a Bible study time. If you look in the back, you can see the sewing machines, those round things over them, and they're all treadle sewing machines. So that's what they sew on, is treadles. And they're amazing.
They have records of all the sewing ladies. The first class, there's a lady out of that. She went to fight for the rebels and lost her life here just a few years ago. So, brings everything to home. This next picture, this is a Bible college that they asked us to go to minister at. They declared Mission Week. That 1 week, the first week of December. And so they let us come in on the first hour every morning. So I got to speak on Tuesday, and you spoke on Wednesday. If you want to go ahead and tell them the story, this is a cool story.
Yeah, this is, if you go to the next picture real quick, you'll see this is the entrance of that building, and everybody, you take off your shoes before you enter buildings. Now, in a Buddhist home, you absolutely do that. You don't go in their house with your shoes on. But these, it's typical to just in the Burmese people to take off your shoes before you go into a building. We did not have to do that as guests, so which was nice.
I remember I had to walk through like this, not to step on anybody's shoes.
Yeah, stepping over shoes. Yeah. Okay, so the next slide shows Rex ministering. You see it's all decorated for, this is December, so they're decorated for Sweet December, Christmas time. But he's ministering, and he's ministering on the gospel and just letting them know. And these are 20-something, maybe 30-something kids, about 120 or 130 of them, something like that. And so in this Bible school, and so he's telling about who they are, trying to teach them who they are in Jesus and their identity, that the Holy Ghost is in them and that they can minister, that they can work, and so that these young people can get it in them that they can go out.
In the power of God.
In the power of God. Yeah. And so he had asked them to, he said, okay, now we're going to work, we're going to operate in this. He said, I want you to pray for, we're going to pray for each other. So, you know, as good, you know.
In particular, miracles.
Yeah.
In particular,
and to expect miracles. So he said, I want you to expect if there's something that something you need that you know that only God can do, that it would be a miracle that only God can do. We want you to pray for each other. So they just bowed their heads and, you know, we're praying like silently like this. And so they had no clue as to what to do. So Rex said, stop. Okay, no. He says, I want you now, go to the next slide. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to pray for them. You know, you get in twos and threes and groups and you find out what the need is and you pray for each other. And so they did that.
And expect God for miracles.
And just expect something to happen, you know, pray for those needs. And so at the end, he had a little bit of time left for just a couple testimonies. And he had some people testify about, you know, different healings and things. Well, the next day, if you go to the next slide, I was ministering and I was just sharing what it's like to be a newbie, first time out of country, you know, on the mission field. And because that's what a lot of them would be. But at the end, I had time where I asked them if they had more testimonies of what happened, and they stood up, and one guy had an ear healed. They had backs that had been healed. They'd had pain in their back, but one of the most there were a lot of emotional things, you know, healing that they received healing on. But one of the main things that stuck out to us is there was a young lady who came up and said, "I for the first time realized that the Lord can use me to pray for somebody else. That I don't have to wait for, you know, some big, you know, big person, big minister, but that I can do it." And that was,
in particular, she goes, I didn't realize that God wanted to do miracles through me.
Through me, yeah.
She always just thought through the, you know, the biggies, you know, or the supers, whatever.
Their instructors or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
And so these are going to be future ministers, in particular, going out as well. They got to know when they go out to minister, it's going to be in the power of God who dwells in them.
Okay, so the next slide is why we go. Now, I want to go segue sort of into this is when we're over in Burma, it's a completely different country, different. I mean, completely different.
Myanmar,
it's not like
Burma,
going to England, you know, where it's kind of the same. No, this is a whole different thing. Southeast Asia, a whole different. A whole different culture, and when you think of you go to another nation, the nation think of it in terms of a kingdom, okay? So you've got a ruler in that kingdom, which you have. You have populace, obviously, people. You have a language, and you have rules, okay? And you've got territory. So those are the things that are in a kingdom. Now let's translate that to the kingdom of God. When you're born again, you're translated into the kingdom of God. You're entering into the kingdom of God. So now, when you enter the kingdom of God, there's other rules. There's rules that we live by, and it's up to us to learn them. When we were there, we were learning a little bit of Burmese, you know, Mingala Ba, that's hello, you know, Chesu Ba or Chesu Dimbade, thank you very much, thank you very much. So we were learning some little bits of the language. Well, the same thing in the kingdom of God. There's things that we should be speaking and things that we should not be speaking.
Yeah.
We need to be speaking the language of the kingdom on earth here, okay? And that's a whole nother thing, but that's what we need to be learning. And so as we're going into that country, we're learning. When you're born again and you're in the kingdom of God, you need to think, I live in another kingdom. I'm in a kingdom that's here on earth. Jesus said that his kingdom was here. Okay, that when he came, his kingdom was here, and when we're born again, we enter into that. So we've got land. There's rules that we have to live by. There's a different language. There's different laws of the kingdom that we need to live by, the law of sowing and reaping, you know, just the law of purpose. There's all kinds of different laws that we live under, that we operate under. And when you live under those, things go well for you. That's like in the song we sang. I think I wrote down the words, broken lives in the kingdom, broken lives are made whole. That's where the wholeness comes from, is when you're we're learning to live under the laws of the kingdom that we're in, and we can operate that here on the earth, and then that's when we have the tools and the things we need. So I just want to encourage you in that, to think in terms of kingdom. I know the Lord's been speaking that to me lately, like, are you living in the kingdom now, or are you living in the darkness side? Are you living in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of dark? So we've got to learn how to live in the kingdom here and operate in that kingdom, okay?
Yeah, just thank you. That's a good word, Karen. And, you know, in our experiences, we see Christians really not experiencing of who we are in Christ. You know, we want to let others know that because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Many are hungry for more, but they just don't know how to get that more. So it's like our ministry to be able to do that is to show them who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, and that hunger can be satisfied. Okay, so let's see here. Okay, I'm going to do a little quick teaching here regarding the works of Jesus. Okay, so just go with me on your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. And we're going to talk about the works of Jesus. Here, this is a scripture. It seems almost like, when I read it, I think a long time ago, I thought, wow, this is too good to be true. And then I realized a lot of theologians kind of want to, put their spin on it and say, nah, it doesn't apply to us. Nah. I mean, here it is. Jesus said his believers would do his works if they believe in him. And then he goes on and says, even greater works because I go to the Father. So what does that all entail? So I'm starting out the scripture, but I really also want to end with this scripture. And we're going to talk about the works of Jesus, what they are, what he expects from us. Here it looks like he expects quite a bit from us. So So I know this was at the Last Supper that Jesus was speaking to his disciples regarding, but does it only apply to his disciples, or does it also apply to us? So we want to answer that, okay? But if Jesus expects his believers or followers, disciples, to do his works, what are the works? I mean, that's got to be an obvious question. So we're going to look at his works, okay? So we're going to now go to Matthew chapter 9. Towards the end of chapter 9, I know this is a lot. Karen, why don't you go ahead and read this, please?
Okay, it's Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38.
And I'm reading this, I'm using the Modern English Version, which is pretty identical to the New King James Version, by the way.
Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. There again, the gospel of the kingdom. But when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them because they fainted and were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest."
You know, there's a lot in this, but what we can get out of it is that there's a whole lot more people that have ministry needs than there is those who are ministering to those needs. So it was like that back then. It's like that today too. So many people have needs. It hasn't changed in the past 2,000 years, has it? Not at all. Okay? But here's also something that hasn't changed in the last 2,000 years, is the compassion of Jesus to meet those needs. There's people crying out, where's Jesus? Where is Jesus? He hasn't left. He's still the same as he is yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same Jesus. So how is he going to minister that? It seemed like to me, if I was there, you would probably say, wow, Jesus is kind of sad because he sees all these needs of the people and he can't get to all of them. And so I think it's it reveals a lot. But where are the laborers that he's talking about? He says, pray for the laborers to go into the harvest. Okay. Now, the next verse is actually the next chapter. Now, of course, when they wrote the New Testament, they didn't have chapter and verse. It just all went together. So the next verse is chapter 10, verse 1. And it says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Now, this is radical. I mean, it's kind of radical that Jesus is doing all these things. I mean, if you go back to the chapter, it's quite a chapter, all what he did. And there's so many chapters in the Gospels that are like that, all what he did. So we're talking about his works here. His works, it's not just healing great teaching with authority, but it's healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of diseases. It's raising the dead. It's casting out demons. Those are his works in particular, the miracles that he did. That's his works. And it's radical that he did it. Just think of that. Up for 4,000 years, these things hadn't been done to man. They haven't, the prophets would, the Holy Spirit would come on them at certain times, at the prophet, priests, and kings, but only for a special occasion or a special time, a special moment. But now these things are happening all the time through this man, Jesus. And he's causing quite a stir. He's making religious people very nervous of what's going on. And the people, he's gathering crowds, and everybody has needs, and then they go to him, and he meets the needs. I mean, it's radical. But what's really radical is he turns to disciples and says, he's going to have them do it too. That's radical. Is it not? I mean, these are just common men before the cross of Jesus, right? So he's telling common men that they're going to do his works. Now, let's look at verse 8, which is the next slide. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. Well, it's free because the price has already been paid. Okay? Price has been paid. So if you're one of those disciples and Jesus says, okay, you've seen what I've done. Now you're going to go out and do that. Would you be excited? I can just see Peter. He probably jumped down and, oh, goody, goody, goody. We get to do what Jesus has been doing, you know. And then you'd have probably Thomas saying, I don't think so. You know, and then some says, does he really mean we're going to do that? I mean, what if it doesn't work, Jesus? You know, you call Jesus on the cell phone and say, hey, we got one. This is pretty tough. They're really bad. I mean, they just died. What do we do? I mean, what's going on in their minds now? I'm going to go through every gospel here. So the next gospel is the gospel of Mark, right? So Mark chapter 6, verse 12 and 13 says, so they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed many who were sick, and he healed them. It worked. Okay, let's go to the next gospel. That's Luke chapter 9, verse number 1. It says, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, down to verse 6, it says, so they departed and they went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. These were the disciples. You know, I can give all kinds of stories. I think it's fine to do so. About in the Gospels, there's so many crazy stories about the disciples. What they said, what they did. I mean, it was just crazy. It would be just like us, right? I mean, I think it's funny, one story in John. I don't know if I need to go there, but yeah, I'll go there. Okay. Anyway, you think of the disciple John, who was the disciple of love. You know, he had a brother James, and James and John, they were called the sons of thunder too. But anyway, it was James and John and Peter were like the inner circle of Jesus. But it's also James and John, when they're going to go to Jerusalem, they were going to go through Samaria. And Samaritans wouldn't let them through. So, you know, you can't go through here. You're just passing through here. And so anyway, it's a big mix-up. And James and John says, Jesus, you want us to call down fire from heaven? Oh, my gosh. Jesus says, you don't know where you're coming from, you know. These are the ones he's using to start his church with. Man. Okay. Now, Luke 10, next chapter. I know it's not on there, Mike, but anyway, Luke 10, he sends 70 out, not just the 12, 70 out to do the works, and they did it too. So he's making this pretty practical, isn't he? You know, I know about 3 weeks ago, Pastor Nate spoke this message upon Jesus being God and man. And that's fascinating. Well, it was more fascinating. He did that out of the Old Testament. And so I'm going to kind of rebound on that when we go in the New Testament about who Jesus is, the one who did these works, the one who expects us to do these works, and how he did these works, okay? So throughout the New Testament, Jesus is known as the Son of God and the Son of Man, okay? So the Son of God refers to his deity, the Son of Man as his manity. But Jesus was 100% God and 100% man, both. So the question is, because many just think that, well, the reason why that Jesus was able to do these miracles because he was God, right? I mean, God can do anything. But then Jesus says, I want you to do what I've been doing. Wait a minute. If you're God, I haven't got a chance. Not a chance. I mean, I know who I am. I'm not even better than those disciples back then and did all those blunders things, okay? So we're going to take a little bit different view of Jesus, okay? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Now, this is interesting scripture. And I found these two versions that really kind of explain what goes on. The first version is the ICB. And I thought, what's the ICB? The International Children's Bible. So that's great. It helps me understand. It's got to be simple for me. If it's not simple, then, you know. So anyway, this is cool. Hey, Karen, I want you to read that, okay?
Christ himself was like God in everything. He was equal with God, but he did not think that being equal with God was something to be held on to. He gave up his place with God and made himself nothing. He was born as a man and became like a servant. And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God. He obeyed even when that caused his death on a cross.
And then the contemporary English version.
Contemporary English. Christ was truly God, but he did not try to remain equal with God. Instead, he gave up everything and became a slave when he became like one of us. Christ was humble. He obeyed God and even died on the cross.
So now we got a little bit better picture of the Son of God and how he ministered as the Son of Man. Okay? So as man, of course, Jesus was tempted in all ways. We know God can't be tempted in James chapter 1, right? God can't be tempted. Jesus was. So that's his name. Jesus grew up in wisdom. He just didn't have it. He had to grow in it. He had to learn who he was. I just think sometime, you know, this is my thinking, okay? So just go with me a minute. Just think when Jesus was young. I mean, he had a desire, of course, to know the Word of God, what was in the Old Testament. One day, I don't know how old he was. Maybe he's only 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or so. He was reading. there's 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus, about the Messiah. And he had to be reading one day, and the Holy Spirit says, that's you, Jesus. That's you. And then he'd read another scripture. That's you. And then he had desire. He's like, he goes, Mom, tell me a little bit how I was born. He found out who he was. We have to find out who we are. For him to do what he did, he had to know who he was. And then he had to form a relationship with his Heavenly Father who told him what to do. And we're going to read some great scriptures on that. So if Jesus, though being God, chose to be like us as a man, how was he able to do the miracles? He tells us how. He tells us how he did it. There's no secret about that. And when I go through these scriptures, because Jesus is talking about his relationship with his Father, we need also to look at these and how we are in our relationship with the Father and with him and the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right? So here's the wrong thinking things. Okay? The only time you can have a miracle is when God wants you to have a miracle, and it's only by him. So if you thought that, take it out. Okay? We're going to talk a little bit more. We're not going to, I have too many friends, family members, they think miracles only come from God, and it can never be used by you. That's not how Jesus said. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is Peter talking, and it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And when you think of this, man, this is so revealing, because it says God anointed the man Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus from heaven, with the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus really was the first one to be filled with the Holy Spirit as a man. And he walked in what God gave him as a son of man, and that's how he ministered. And now we're going to look at how God did things through him. He emptied himself. So really, if he emptied himself, how was he able to do it if it wasn't him? Okay? So I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done for us. All the things he did in his workings, he did it all for us. Not just then, but now. Because he was our example. He was our model how to do things. When he was healing somebody, he was saying, like, Josh, I'm healing this person, but somewhere down the line, you're going to come into some contact with somebody, and you're going to look at the example I provide for you, and you're going to get them healed too. Jesus is not done doing his miracles and works. He chooses to use us now, people. You know, are you people? Yeah. He can use you too. Jesus isn't done healing. Jesus isn't done doing his miracles. It just started back then. And he was showing it how it's be done for us. You know, Jesus did everything for us, because without him, we are lost. Okay. So Jesus back there is telling us what's possible. So, and he's going to ask you in your heart what's possible if he hasn't already. He says, what's possible? What's possible? What can you believe me for? What are we going to be able to do? What can I do through you? Okay, let's go through John here, and that reveals a lot. Let's go to John chapter 3. This is a cool thing. This is from the Message Bible. This is the first chapter of John. No, excuse me, the third chapter. Karen, could you read that, please?
The one that God sent speaks God's words. And don't think he rations out the Spirit in bits and pieces. The Father loves the Son extravagantly. He turned everything over to him so he could give it away. A lavish distribution of gifts. That is why whoever accepts and trusts The Son gets in on everything. Life complete and forever.
Man, that's so cool. I know it's a paraphrase version, but that's so cool. So let's go to John chapter 5. And this is Jesus is talking about his relationship with his Father. He's going to tell you how he does these works, okay? It says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Now, that's the man in him, not the God, the man in him. He can do nothing himself, but only what he sees his Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does in a like manner. Okay, John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him." Okay. John chapter 12, verse 39, it says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command of what I should say and what I should speak." John chapter 14, verses 10 and 11 says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." So the works have even a greater impact rather than just the one who receives those works. It shows that Jesus proved God by the works that he did. It points to God. No different than us today. It points to validity that Jesus is alive. That Jesus, he's the one. It's not us. And people accuse us, oh, you know, all these, you know, doing those, you know, if we all think we want to do miracles. No, I just want to express Jesus through me, right? That's what we're doing. And we're proving that Jesus is alive and can still work in the hearts of men. Nobody's left out. Nobody is. When you know that message is, you can't wait to tell others. And then you can be like when you first went to the disciples. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Okay. So Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. But so are we, right? Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses." Okay? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. "He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." We have the Holy Spirit with power. We have the anointing. I mean, that's what God gave Jesus. I know it's radical to say that, but everything God put in Jesus, he put in us. It's true. I know you might be scratching your head on that. It's okay. In fact, I hope today I'm shaking you up that you're asking questions like, is this all true? That's okay. Ask those questions. I came through all that because it gets you to search for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Let the Holy Spirit tell you as you read the Word of God, what's possible? What do you really want? Jesus, you said these works are for your believers. How can that be? We're getting to the end, okay? Just want to let you know that. Matthew chapter 28. These scriptures are about the Great Commission. You've ever heard of that? Who's heard of the Great Commission? Okay? Everybody has. Well, I'm going to go to the verse before the Great Commission and read it, okay? So to set this up, Jesus told his 11 disciples, you know, right up in Judas, "Hey, meet me on this mount. It'll be the last time I'll see you. I'm going to be risen up. I'm going to go sit to the right hand of God the Father." Okay? And they probably still don't understand this. And so I think this first verse is amazing. It says, "When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted." We're talking about his 11 disciples. 11 disciples have been with him for 3 years. son are doubting, like, is that him? Or can all this be true? Like, this is the church he's going to, the people he's going to use to start his church. He had, Jesus must have a lot of confidence in them just to use these 11 people to start the greatest movement the world has ever known. He had a lot of confidence in the Holy Spirit who is going to dwell in them to bring things up to the remembrance of what he told them for these past 3 years to do that. And he doesn't have any less confidence for y'all. He doesn't. He knows what it can do. Some doubted, but those same that some doubted, they got filled with the Holy Spirit just days later. And they went out and changed the world. Every one of the 11 disciples were scattered, and they did a movement, and they did a work somewhere. All of them died martyrs except one. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, he went to India, not too far from where we're at, because I think in that area, he established and believers there and churches there that still stand today. What's possible? What's possible with us? Now we go back to John 14, 12. The first part of this, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, if you believe in my, believe in me, you'll do the works I do also. He was saying that to his disciples. But wouldn't it be redundant to tell his disciples that they were going to do his works if they already were doing his works? Think about that. They already were. So who is he really speaking to? Who's he speaking to? Yeah. Those who believe in him. That's who he's speaking to. You'll do my works. You mean, I think that's the floor right there. That's the floor, not the ceiling. That's the floor of what he expects from us. Do my works. If you believe in me, do my works. Common man did it before the cross. We're after the cross now. And then he says, you'll do greater these because I go to the Father. And I looked at that for a long time. I didn't know what that meant. Now, there's a lot of spin on that too. All the greater works are people now getting saved. Well, I know you can go there, but here's what I believe they are. Jesus goes to the Father. He's glorious. He's the victor. He's the one that defeated the devil. He's the one who has all authority. And because of his position, and as he is, so are we in this world, 1 John 4:17. Who we are now, we have the glorious Christ. That's why Peter could just walk down the street and his shadow would heal people. That didn't happen in the Gospels. That's why Paul would take these cloths, pray for him. His life would go into them. He believed that they would go out and that they would do miracles, and they did. Greater things, because he's with the Father, but they're all in us. The risen Savior, our King, our Lord and Savior, the one who took all the sin of all mankind, that's who lives us now. Galatians 2:20, that's the next scripture. It says, are we okay in time? Are we all right? Okay. I want to respect that. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's so much to know and learn about who we are in Christ and who we are and who we're not anymore. We're not who we used to be. You're not who you used to be. And if you're still looking back of how you used to be, that's not where our focus should be. So I don't know how many of you here that you feel bad about what happened. Maybe there's some shame still there. There shouldn't be. But I know how the devil is. He wants a pit. Oh, he's a deceiver and a liar. And I've had to deal with all kinds of things. I know you would too. But it holds you back from what Jesus wants to accomplish in your life now. Or it's holding you back from what you would love to get from God now. So I don't know what it is. Only God knows. The Holy Spirit, you know. But you know that you don't have to be pulled back. You don't have to look back. Paul, I think he was a great example of that. He didn't look back. Even though he killed Christians, he didn't look back. And he, at one point, he says, I have done no wrong. He's talking about him. He knew who he was. He knows that old man, which is Saul, is dead. He was raised with Christ. He knew who he was. I think he knew more about Jesus than anybody did, because what we're reading in the epistles. And he's never spent any time physically with Jesus, but he knew Jesus better than those disciples, I think. Peter had all some understanding, like, wow, Paul, you got some really, wow, you know. We don't have to be with Jesus physically. He's inside of us. We just got to know who he is, right in here. Not up here, right in here. Okay?
We want to, and one thing to encourage you is, as he's talking to us, I was thinking, you're all going, yeah, but that's you. You know, that's you. That's you. You've done. Well, we're just mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, who are just living ordinary lives, serving in the church, just like you are here. And then the Lord started speaking to us and pointing us in a different direction. And that can happen with any of you. He can start speaking to you, I would like you to do this, you know, so go and do that. It may be something with a neighbor. It may be something, it could be anything, but it's just listening and saying, well, and you know, in the Bible, God says go. You know, he tells us to go into all the world. That's a green light. So when you're going and doing something to your neighbor in the grocery store, walking your neighborhood praying, walking your schools and praying, you're doing, you know, so do the go unless you get a specific red light. So, but we're just like you. We're no different. And so you can do it, because the same Holy Ghost, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you speak in other tongues, the same Holy Ghost lives in you.
I wanted to say one thing just on that I thought was super powerful. I'm not cutting you off. I just felt like I had to get up here and say it. I was listening to Reinhard Bonnke, a sermon that Reinhard Bonnke was the guy who brought the gospel to Africa, practically. I mean, yeah. not the first one to go, but he set Africa on fire for Christ. And he said something, and I just listened to it yesterday, and I was going to say it today, and I never did, and then you said that. He says, God doesn't sit with the sitters, and he doesn't sleep with the sleepers. He goes with the goers. And if you're looking for God to do something in your life, he might be actually the one waiting for you to do something in your life. He partners with you. That's the whole message. His great desire is to do his works through you. So you're like, where is this God? He's like, well, he's in you, waiting to get out of you.
That's right. That's right.
And I felt like the other thing the Lord was saying was something he's been telling me for a long time now. Every time I'm waiting for him to do something or whatever else it is, he's essentially saying, Nate, just get out of my way. Get out of my way. I want to do something. Get out of my way. And he's saying it nicely, not meanly.
That's,
but the idea is like, the reason he's not doing things is not because he doesn't want to do them. It's because we're not letting him do it. Like, that's what's actually happening. He's like, I want to be unleashed. I just get out of my way. like go do it. Like don't hold me in. And so anyway, that's what I wanted to say too on doing the works of Christ, was like, he's ready to do stuff. He's kind of waiting on you. And that's what I think where we're reading in the scriptures today is he's already made promises to do things. He's already expressed his will and his desire. It's in the Bible. He's expressed what he wants to do, and he's just waiting for people to agree with it and then go do it. That's what he's waiting to do. So I just wanted to share a couple words on that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's good. That's an amen.
So, I'm sure you guys finished.
Yeah. If there's anybody that wants prayer for anything, we'll be glad to pray with you. Okay. Do that. I know it's late. We gotta get going. So.
Yeah, and just to reiterate on that front too, on receiving prayer. There's some of you who, there's something about the laying on of hands and the impartation of something that you want to have happen, that maybe the Lord is just waiting for you to come and receive something. It said many times in the book of Acts, people would receive the gospel and they would receive Christ, but there was no power yet until the laying on of hands and the anointing of a believer to a newbie, and something would come upon them. And I think you guys were saying too, just towards the end of waiting for the, you know, when the Lord speaks, just do it. He changes by speaking to you. That was my entire testimony from last year, which you guys weren't even here for that, Rex and Karen. But I mean, the man you see today is not the same as the man who existed about 14 months ago. And the difference between that was primarily God said something to me and I accepted it. And I feel like the voice of God is the most wonderful thing in the universe. It's also the scariest. Because He never really asks you to do things that are in your comfort zone. He only tells you to go do things that you would not usually do. I like to say that because there's no point in Him telling you to go do things that you want to do. It's not like He has to come step down and say, you know what you should do today? Go watch the Chiefs game. It's like He doesn't usually say those things because He just knows you're going to do those anyway. But when He does come, He's like, why don't you try this and I'll go with you. Does that make sense? Why don't you try this thing and I'll go with you. So I would invite you, if you'd like, for Rex and Karen or me to pray with you today just to ignite something in you. I think that'd be wonderful. I also wanted to say, if you want to donate to the ministry that they support in Myanmar, just make a checkout and put in the memo Rex and Karen, and we'll collect it all. Or in the offering envelope, if you have an offering envelope, you can put some money in and just put down the other ministry for Rex and Karen, yeah. And we will make sure all of that gets to. Yeah,
we won't get money for a laptop and a piano and keyboard.
Because they're raising money right now to go provide the Bible school with a laptop and a keyboard. So if you want to give any money towards that, you can put those in the offering buckets at the back. Amen? Thank you guys so much. Let me pray for us. Lord, we do thank you for the word that you've given to us. You have promised us that we can do things the same as Christ walking on the earth through Christ who lives in us. Open our eyes to see, Lord, and open our hearts to receive that. Right now, I speak against all the intimidation and the insecurity that's in the hearts of all these people, that they would rise up in faith and in love, filled with peace, and they would just simply be willing to be a vessel, to be used by the Lord to push forth your purposes. Reveal to the world once again, Lord, that you are God by the works that your people do. Let it be done in me, and let it be done in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.